Welcome to the Wanting It More podcast. I am your host, Jana Dentonhouse, and it's an absolute delight to have you here. I'm a marriage and intimacy educator, as well as a creator of the Wanting It More program, which has helped thousands of women who are married to men want and enjoy it more in the bedroom. You know, having low desire was something that I personally struggled with for years in my marriage, so I absolutely get it all. You are not alone. Just a heads up, I use all the words in this podcast, so if you've got little ears around or you're in a public setting, you may want to pop in some earbuds. I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome back to the podcast. It is great to be here. Today we are joined by David. David just completed the program with his wife, or actually he's in the last weeks of the program. What courage to come on right in the middle of your learning. So David, welcome to the podcast. And if you could get us started with just sharing a little bit about yourself so the listeners can kind of orient you in the world.
I'm a almost 65-year-old man, and I live in British Columbia, and I've been with my current partner for almost 22 years, and she has a son, my stepson, and I have two daughters. So from my previous marriage, one of them, was born in 1985 and the other one in 1990. And my son-in-law is about the same age as my youngest daughter. I've worked in business. So I had an automotive shop, and then I moved to the restaurant industry. And so that, and what one of our passions is to travel in the desert area of the U.S., like Utah and places like that. Anyway, that's what I'm kind of.
That must be so different than the climate we have. I'm also in British Columbia, so it must be so different than the climate we have here, which would be really neat.
Yes.
I love that. All right. Well, bring us back a little bit into your early days growing up, your teen years, young adult years. What was your experience like around sex and navigating relationships, education around sex? Just a brief kind of overview of how it all began for you.
Well, I think we, growing up in my family, we didn't have much of a model. So I never saw my parents holding each other, or only time kisses were shared were like if relatives were coming, which was really awkward because we never saw that with our parents. But part of my journey is dealing with shame. So some of the things that happened there, for example, when I don't remember why, but one time I was having a bath, and I was maybe six or seven or something, and I was maybe touching my penis, and my mother told me, "Don't touch that." And then, that's all I remember about that. And I know, like, the only mantra about sex was, "Don't have sex until you're married," but there was no discussion about what sex was or any of that kind of stuff. And then the other part for me, which was kind of difficult, is I went to a private school that was all boys. And so that was like on our prom night, I did have a date, but man, that was so awkward because I had So back to what my family was like, I had two sisters and a brother. But they were also at different schools and we were different places. So we kind of didn't grow up together other than summers or something like that. So it's a bit of a strange background. And then I know there was a time, I don't know, it was 11 or 12 or something, and I was in our neighborhood and just hanging out with some boy, and he asked me to pull my pants down. And I remember just feeling, and when it wasn't until today I thought about it again and how I could sort of relate to, in a tiniest way, how horrible it must be for women. And I, because of my background, I went home and there was no way I didn't talk about it. And yeah, so that's a bit of the baggage and what has caused, I think, caused me a lot of shame. And I always felt growing up that I didn't measure and I wasn't good enough to what my parents wanted me to do, because they had great ambitions for certain professions they wanted us to follow in their footsteps. But none of us actually did. But so that's one of my biggest journeys, is sorting out the shame and feeling unworthiness. So this program has been fantastic, because it seems to hit in all the different areas that we need to grow our relationship and make it better so that both parties can enjoy it. Anyway.
Has that realization around the shame piece been a recent revelation for you?
I think it I know, like, I love your Brené Brown. So I listened to her CD and that was really helpful, but it's so intense. I had to go over it over and over it, and I wrote it out and I still don't get it all, but it's been really helpful. And it makes me understand why I made certain, like, professional decisions and things that I regretted, because I didn't feel worthy to do certain things that I was most interested in. So, so answering your question, yes, the course has helped me a lot to sort out what shame actually is and how to define it and what it means and how you can confront it and how to deal with it. So it's that your path led me to reading other things about it and exploring it further, which is, it's been a fantastic and very helpful for my growth and understanding of shame, I think, and how it applies to our relationship, needing this constant validation, and which I'm learning and now starting to understand and practice, doesn't come from conventional sex as portrayed by culture that we live in, the toxic soup that we live in.
And now, looking back in your previous relationships and maybe the relationship you had with your wife before, do you see that play out where you were seeking validation or seeking kind of healing from the shame through sex?
Most definitely. And I think that's probably one of the main reasons why our first relationship broke up, because that's what it was all about. And it's sad to say, my second relationship was the same thing until just before this course, where we're just looking everywhere for solutions and reading whatever we could. The sad part is I was living with a resource that knew all this already. That was my wife, my current wife. She had already had a path where she understood all this stuff, but she had me, a partner, who didn't listen. I didn't hear what she said. And again, the course is, and I love that it's the first path, is so powerful with teaching us to have compassion, compassion for ourselves, compassion for our wives. And like one of the, it just the one time that my wife said to me, like, I didn't think she would ever, and it's not complete, it's something in progress, but could have compassion for the terrible way that I treated her by not listening to her and just listening to the toxic cultural norms. And so that, again, that's another reason why this course is so, so powerful, because it has an element where we can have discussions with other men. And we really realize that we're not alone in this. And the feelings that we have letting go of this toxic cultural norms, that we need sex for validation, it's not easy. And I'm not the only one with that kind of problem. And so this course, with the discussions online, we can talk with the other men. And also we have Zoom calls with Jana and Melissa and Justin, and we can like dig in, and it's so freeing, and there's not pressure for us to participate, but just participating is another growth term, growth area for me, because being shy, this is another one of my shame and issues that I need to deal with. It is just having that opportunity to speak on Zoom and feel like it's a safe place helps me grow there too. There's so many angles where this course has helped me to grow and be a better person and be a better partner for my wife. It's amazing.
It's incredible to think that you were really struggling to listen to your wife, and then it seemed like, and maybe it's not this way, but it seemed like a switch kind of flipped for you. Was it like that, or have you always been interested in growth and personal development, and you just needed a nudge in this direction?
Well, it goes back to me listening, I got introduced to you by watching YouTube, and then I saw you had these nice little shorts that explained all kinds of things. And then I was very disappointed when you had one saying, "I'm quitting. I'm not going to do this anymore." And then I'd heard, I think I gathered, because I read the notes or something, that you know, you were a counselor that could help one-on-one, and now you weren't going to do it anymore. And so I saw that probably 6 months before I signed up. And then YouTube's algorithm like doesn't bring you back. And so, like, I really hate it now. They don't give you stuff. They keep feeding you new stuff all the time. But for some reason, I saw you again. So then I, like 6 months later, I watched maybe five or six of those. And so I was kind of disappointed. So I put it away for a bit. And then you popped up again. So then I went and I went onto your website. And then I found your podcast. So to answer your question, it was your podcast that made the real mind switch for me that, oh my God, my wife has been saying this from the beginning. Everything they say on this podcast, you know, it must be true. Like, and then thanks to the course, I wouldn't know without the course, know how to respond to my wife. And this is still a bit of an ongoing thing, is like, how could you do that for 20 or 15 years, not listen to me, not to believe what I say? I've been telling you all these things, and I was telling you about, I would listen to a podcast and I say, they said this, 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 and you've said this forever. Like, what? I didn't believe you. I'm so sorry. And the more, that's why it sounds crazy. I listened to 40 of them, because every one of them had new examples of things that I was doing that were harming her. And that's another key element to your course, is understanding what harm is, how you can identify it so you can remove it from your relationship. Like, it's, yeah, there's so much going on here. I just love it all. Yeah. I don't know if I answered your question again.
Are you able to articulate, because I'm sure people are listening, and men, and probably women more so, and they're thinking, well, a lot of women are probably listening thinking, can you call up my husband and talk to him, please? That's really what they're thinking. Can you wake him up too? And so, but I'm curious, why, David, why didn't you believe her? What have you been able to think about? What were the barriers?
I had no answer for that until your course. And your course, like, I really didn't realize how influential the cultural norms are in the society that we live in, and the formula for what sex is. And in my case, because the traditional sex wasn't working, and I wasn't, you know, it was getting more and more infrequent. My wife didn't like it. It was causing more and more arguments. and I wanted to avoid conflict. Again, another kind of thing of shame, I think. Didn't feel worthy and all those kind of things. Sorry, I forgot where we're going.
Yeah, so you were talking about cultural norms kind of
Oh, right.
becoming the barrier. And so was it that you were interpreting her not wanting to have intercourse with you as meaning that she didn't want you? Or what were those cultural norms that that were sort of running through your head?
Okay, that's definitely one. And one of the strongest ones was feeling that I was unloved, undesired, not wanted. But the other one, the strong norm is what's depicted in porn that shows you what sex is. And this is the way it's supposed to be. And this is the formula. But she didn't like the formula. She didn't enjoy the formula. But since that's what I was bombarded with from media in every direction, like everywhere you look, it's there. I didn't believe her. I thought, well, something wrong with her. She's like, why isn't she matching the formula? This doesn't make sense.
Right.
And then this stupid idea that that's having sex is what love is, and this is how we measure it, just doesn't make any sense. And the big eye opener for me when in one of our discussions, I think you said that, well, if she didn't love you, she wouldn't be with you and she wouldn't have signed us up for the course. So, and you go, yeah, well, like, why can't I figure that out? So there's so many aha moments throughout the course. It's terrific.
Yeah, I think it's such a common narrative for men to do what you did because of culture and say there must be something wrong with you. There must be a hormonal issue, or maybe it's from trauma, or maybe you're not attracted to me, or maybe you don't love me. It's just so common to diagnose women with all these issues. So I'm sure it's just incredibly refreshing for the listeners, especially for the women, to be hearing of your revelation and new discoveries. How have you started to heal as a couple from those years of trying to make the media sex formula work?
Well, back a bit to what you were saying, I made this assumption that, you know, there's something wrong with my wife, and we would go to counseling together. And the sad part is that the therapist a lot of times would come up with things to help my wife be more into it and stuff, but there wasn't any emphasis on me. And what another realization, what kind of really hurts is, you know, my wife would say, well, maybe you should go off and get some counseling on your own. So I did do that a bit on emotions. And like, if somebody asked me, how do you feel? No idea, blank slate. So I had to start right at the beginning, and they would be telling me, well, how's your stomach feel when you talk about this? And so I had to learn like a little kid how to feel, because that was not part of what we learned growing up. But just feelings were not discussed. They weren't allowed. And a lot of things I'm learning. Anyway, the saddest part of it is that I was so wrong. It was me that really had to develop. My wife had done lots of therapy before she met me, and she had all these answers, but she had me as a partner who wasn't listening and responding. You were asking me, well, how did we grow as a couple? Well, the first step was, we with this issue, not having sex and not feeling loved, would get us into these horrible conflicts, these circles that were impossible to get out of. They were terrible. But there's like a magic key to that. For me, it was finally to stop being defensive, listen, and validate. And oh my God, that absolutely, it just stopped the circle dead. But, you know, of course, it wasn't believable at first for my wife. We would have to go over it. through this same discussion, and I would have to do the same thing. Don't be defensive. I think we had a whole week of, we would have 3-4 hour arguments and discussions. But just me doing that, not being defensive, I know there's lots of other pieces to it, but that one is so powerful. And that's how we broke the cycle. And then with the course, we've been working on things like, it's still there is like, how could you do that to me? Like, how could you not listen to me? I've been telling you for years and you don't listen. Like, why? But me answering the why questions, I always got into trouble because my whys are, they weren't enough at all to answer that. So again, the course helped me so much with understanding how culture has formed our beliefs and how we think and what we do within our relationships. And not that understanding is key to making it better and making it a mutual, pleasurable connection.
So it sounds like you've really been making the journey from really paying a lot of attention to external things, like what your wife is doing, what kind of sex you're having, to more internal experiences, like your emotions and what you can be responsible for, which is really exciting. How did you stop being defensive? Because that's a real tricky one to figure out.
Gosh, I wish I just need a sec. We both love this book. It's by David D. Burns, and Feeling Good Together, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So that really helped us because he has scripts and he has worksheets. I mean, we read it together. We honestly didn't get into the worksheets heavily like we should have. Like you would have, you would take a point that my wife made and then you would break it into pieces and then he would show you, you know, was this a good communication or a bad communication? So if I was being defensive, I'd be saying things that were not improving the communication. So that's how I took, like, it made so much sense and he had so many case studies. I just tried it. It was so hard not to be defensive. And going over, like, there's this silly thing that anytime she was upset, she'd bring it up is leaving your black shoes on a dark floor. Like, and it, come on, we've been through this 100, probably really 100 times. But once I wasn't defensive anymore, these things kind of melt away and we could really talk about what was really behind that, like what was underneath that. Why was that so offensive to her? Well, it's because I wasn't listening. I wasn't paying attention to her. It didn't seem like I cared about her when I wasn't just putting the shoes on the shelf. Like, I said, why does this matter so much? Like, don't I matter? No, I need to demonstrate to her that it absolutely matters that I take care of her and show her that I care through such a simple act. So I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, absolutely. And that ties so much into sex because as I know, you're learning about doing that in the bedroom now, which is to pay attention and to listen and not dismiss needs and requests and adjustments, which can be very hard for men to do. So would you mind sharing a little bit more specifically around sex and how you've been managing defensiveness and believing her and listening to her?
So are you talking about our XDs now or in the past? XDs?
Yeah.
Okay. So like you were saying, Jana, we're still in your course. So at this point, we've had one XD. And again, because of the discussions with the other men, and they're analyzing what was being said on the Zoom calls. And you said it's so difficult, and it is difficult, and there's so many nuances to it, is what I've been learning and want to practice is that for mutual pleasure and connection in sex, or not just sex, no harm can be done. And so we have gone into a lot of detail, lots of it, about all the different ways that harm can be done. Just in, for example, an XD is an exploration date, and my wife leads that, and it's what it, her, the purpose for her is to find things that are more pleasurable than neutral. And in this exploration, for her, it's extremely scary, and she's anxious because these cultural norms are still in play, and they're so hard to get rid of. And she's bombarded with them before we started and after we started. And anything she reads, everything is bombarding her. So this is an extremely difficult change for her to lead our exploration date and use her intuition to find things that feel more pleasurable than neutral, just a little bit. So for me as a guy, I've had these intense experience with her, and the norms are for intense experiences. So it's very difficult to not be impatient about, when are we going to get the exciting part? But really, that's the most difficult part, is to lose that and really buy into what sex is. And sex isn't about penis in the vagina necessarily at all. And this is the part that's so surprising to hear from the other men. And it was one daring guy that said it first, and he was saying, you know, I'd be happy if we didn't have any penis in the vagina, and our connection was like this every time. And wow, he was brave to say that. But there is more and more people with time that are echoing that. And that's the understanding we have to get to, is that it's about pleasure and connection, mutual pleasure and connection, no coercion. So back kind of to your question, what I was trying to say was, in our case, our first XD was, my wife was saying, I don't have a plan. I'm anxious. I don't know what we're going to do. So first she let me know that, okay, like the day before, it would be nice if you brought a bowl of fruit up for us. So, and she set the time, which she kept, and she set the limit on how long it would be. And she followed through. Like just doing that for me was, that felt so good that we got that far. But it's a pleasure for me to be there for her and her know that I'm a safe place for her to explore, because she's never had this chance to do this before. And thank you, Jana and Melissa and Justin, for giving us so many examples of how hard this is for women. That's the part I had no idea before that. So going into a little example, if she was exploring and she just wanted to hold my hand, which is what she did want to do, I have to not go, oh, that feels so good. Because now all of a sudden I've turned the exploration around to giving me pleasure. And now she's not leading anymore, and she's being coerced. And then she can't feel the pleasure and be in her body and feel the sensations, because I took it away from her. So it was, the course was extremely helpful in giving us so many examples of nuances of ways that we interfere with her exploration and turn it around, so she's not in her head anymore, but she's thinking about, oh, I need to do something to make my husband feel good, or he likes this. And it's taking away from the pleasure and the connection the mutual pleasure and connection, because now she's just looking after me, and that's not mutual anymore, and we're back to the old way, and we don't want the old way because it didn't work. Yeah,
that makes so much sense that it's really difficult for men to understand women's experiences because, like you said at the beginning of the episode, you had that one experience when you were younger, and then that was like a little bit of a hint about how women are objectified and exploited in our culture. So I'm just curious, what did you think was going on for her? Was it that she was sort of intentionally withholding from you in the past, or that she was bored of it, or what were your thoughts? If it wasn't that she was anxious and having a hard time, what did you figure was going on for her?
So before our course, we had discussions, and if I used the word withholding, oh my God, that was not a good thing to say. And though this is maybe a year ago or something, and then we were starting to get into these horrible cycles of conflict and arguing. And but for me, I was thinking that she didn't love me, and it was extreme rejection, and rejection was so painful, so painful. And then I was also in this stupid mindset that you can exchange goods for sex, like, you know, taking care of everything, doing the dishes, making dinner. But it doesn't work like that. I did not understand that at all. It was like, so we were in an exchange kind of setup, which was not good at all. And it was causing her harm. So I totally see why it didn't work now. Mm-hmm. But so I thought she just didn't love me anymore. But then she didn't, you know, we'd get into such places where we were going to split up, but it didn't happen. So, but that didn't occur to me. Well, why is she still around? There's something she loves about me, and she's hopeful that I can do something to make it pleasurable for her, but I didn't know how until we took this course. And the beauty of the course, all the side reading I've done and we've done, it all complements everything that's in the course. There's nothing in conflict that I've read, and I love that. And I love how coherent, and there isn't a wasted word in here. You know, everything adds value, and the Zoom calls to me are so powerful. I actually go through them and take notes, and because there's so much there, and it takes what your video show, which I didn't talk about yet, is how you have a series of videos for us each week, and so I go through those, but the discussions, it works with, it's dynamic, and your answers are, you know, dynamic to whatever was one of the concerns one of us gentlemen bring up. There's so much there. I can't comprehend it all. It's fantastic. Every time I go through it, I learn something more. And then it'll bring another piece in that I didn't understand before. Okay. And it's just constantly, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
What has it been like to be in a group of men? I'm guessing this is probably one of your first times doing something like that.
It is for me, because I'm kind of jealous of the people that are in church groups, but I was never for the companionship side and having an outlet to discuss these kind of things with other men. And like, so running a business, I had like a district manager that we could talk about stuff like this a little bit, but then it's not good because I'm in a kind of power position over him. But other than that, I had no connection. So having the group of men it's fantastic, because I haven't had that kind of thing since I was in my 20s, where you could just have other people that you could hang out with and really discuss things that you're thinking about, and especially sex and relationships. Like, relationships are what everything's about. And it's so cool to have somewhere to discuss what we're learning in the course, and having a model, and the fact that it's all evidence-based. What you provide is evidence-based, and to me, that gives it tremendous value. I really appreciate that, Jenna.
So now that you're learning how to take the pressure off of sex to provide you that sense of worthiness and being enough and having or even being proved that you're loved, what has your journey been like finding that within it, within yourself?
Well, you had that little questionnaire. I know you don't call it a questionnaire, analysis, or in our last call, where we assess where are we in each of your six paths. And for me, that's a place where I need, there's lots of growth potential, put it that way. But just like before your course, again, I didn't realize that I had this. Well, again, it's part of worthiness, shame stuff. This feeling that I wasn't enough, and kind of being a perfectionist, doing stuff over and over because it, or not getting stuff done because it wasn't good enough. So for me, that's a very powerful concept that, yeah, I need to work on that more. And yeah, that's partly why some of the things I do, like I volunteer at the hospital for the medical students doing genital exams and all that stuff. And part of that was to like out this shame and be worthy. And so that your course is also helping with that tremendously. And that just having the Zoom calls helps with that as well. Am I enough to say something? Is what I'm saying, will anyone listen? Is it worthy of me saying it? And so there's so many angles that your course is helpful. Like if I just took one streak and just listened to the discussions on Zoom, I would get so much out of it. And there's just so many levels, and it interlocks, and it's all it's a comprehensive package that, yeah, it's terrific. I love it.
So we're gonna wrap up now. But before we do, I would love to know if there's a man listening who's kind of on the fence a little bit about all this stuff you're talking about, David, and kind of skeptical, and I don't want to, I don't know if I believe this, or I still think there's something wrong with my wife. What kind of words of encouragement could you offer him?
Well, I think that, well, for me, what really clinched it for me was listening to other women on your podcast and other men talking about their experiences. That's what made it so real for me, because before it was my wife and just whining with the same thing over and over, and I wasn't listening. I was not believing her. But when I heard it from so many other women, and I thought like I was the only man that couldn't have a good relationship with their wife, and I'm hearing it from other men on your podcasts describing exactly how I felt, that's what clinched it for me. Because then I'm, it's like you say, when you get us started on our discussion board, just if somebody shares something and it relates to you, just say, me too, brother. Yeah, that's so powerful, even for us. Very, very powerful. So I would encourage people to listen to your podcast, because there's men speaking on there and there's women speaking on there. And you'll learn something every time. Especially I'm always like I was using porn because I was so rejected feeling, and Mostly, and when I watch porn, it would be, I wanted to see what do I need to do to give pleasure to my wife. That was my education on, but that was nothing compared with what you're offering. So as soon as I started hearing your podcasts from women telling me what they actually needed from a relationship for pleasure, oh, my ears perked up. I couldn't get enough, and I couldn't listen to them all because the course started. But that for a man, that's where I would start. Like you say, I've told like my HVAC guy about it because I've known him for like 10 years, but you know, it's really hard to kind of explain it in elevators. What do they call it? Speak bite or whatever it's called. So I think your podcasts are the key to it. They're very good, and they're great because even if you can't afford the course, if you listen to all of them, you could definitely improve your relationship.
Thank you, David. How fitting, since you've just come on and shared your story and added to the breadth of knowledge that is on this podcast. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us. I'm sure it's helped so many people, and we'll talk to everyone in the next time. Bye for now. If you've enjoyed this episode, I have a favor to ask of you. It's really hard to get the word out about a podcast about sex. What would really, really help is if you would leave a rating and a review. And I know that you get asked this all the time in different podcasts, but please, I beg you, it would really, really help so that more women who need this message will hear it. All you have to do is go into your Apple Podcast app. It's the purple icon. And if you go to the podcast page where it shows my face, and has a little button that says latest episodes. If you scroll down past the episodes and you get to a section called ratings and reviews, there's a little purple writing thing that says write a review. If you click on that, it will ask you to give it a 5 stars. Actually, you can put any stars, but 5 is what I would love. And put a title and then write your review. Thank you so much for supporting this little venture here, and I really am so grateful. If you are curious about wanting it more and how this program could help you want and enjoy sex more with your husband, and you feel like it may be a great next step for you, you can go to janetdentonhouse.com/wantingitmore to sign up for the wait list, to learn more, to see when we're running our next round. All right, that's it. I'll see you next one.